Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.
This is Advice from a Dipshit with Matt Bronger. Thank you for joining us. It's a lovely day here in Los Angeles. I just got back from San Jose, had a nice weekend of shows with my platonic husband, Nato Green, and our adopted Asian daughter, Irene, too. It was a blast. Thanks for everybody who came out and braved the wilds of downtown San Jose, which during the day is a ghost town, and at night is the wild fucking west. On the weekends, I saw more street fights than I'd seen in a long time, and bars are all packed. It was like London without the charm. I described it as being like Beyond Thunderdome if the Road Warriors, a couple of them had their kids with them. Thanks for coming, everybody, and thanks for listening to the podcast and for supporting Amanda and I on Patreon, Patty, and all the other things. So let's do it.
And happy holidays.
And happy holidays, happy everybody.
Your house is so festive. Thanks. Right now.
Yeah, my wife really goes bananas. It's great. It's definitely up her alley. So it's nice. It's nice. Yeah. It's nothing I would probably do on my own, but it's great to do. It's great when you're with somebody who's just like, I really love this. And then you go, all right, then I do too. And you get into it.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
Yeah, she did a good job. I love the random Patriots football player ornament.
There's a Clyde Drexler up near the star. That's my Blazers. And there's a couple Portland things.
I see it.
But she found a bunch of boxes. There's like a Dunkin' Donuts box on there. It's like there's so much Boston shit. But, you know.
It's a fun tree.
It is a fun tree.
Yeah.
It's a fun tree.
All right. I have a couple special ones for you today.
Okay, so sweet.
Let's start there.
Hello, Matt. This is Aaron Lehman, high school friend from Portland, Oregon. I want to ask, I guess, my advice question first. I have sort of a twofold reason for calling, and the first fold is to ask advice. As you probably know, we were sort of colleagues in being funny in high school.
Yeah.
Even if you were more renowned for being funny. And then you followed your dreams of being funny and got into stand-up. And I went to grad school for math eventually and became a teacher and then had struggles with addiction. And I think you know all that. But I don't know if you know how much I spent much of my 20s and early 30s like wishing I had gone that route too, and being kind of jealous of your success and also happy for you at the same time. Now that I've sort of come through the ringer of addiction, I want to know what you think about in my 40s trying to get into stand-up. I've done like 4 open mics and they all actually went pretty well, but you know, it's still scary to think of changing lives like that. The second fold reason for calling was just because I was so taken with this podcast when I found it. I feel like it's such a great platform for you. You're being so open-hearted with your advice and modest and hilarious. And I'm just really happy for you and really digging getting to listen to it and feel, you know, a nostalgic reconnection with you, thinking about where you lived, because I'm driving for a medical transport company, so I'm driving all over the city. I keep passing by the Grant neighborhood and remembering your house and being in there and socializing and, you know, and then never seeing you for years and years because I was not a good friend and whatever, or we just were never that close, but that's fine. Anyway, I'm just happy for you. The show is fucking great, so take it easy.
Wow.
Amazing.
That's crazy. Yeah, just for the people listening and for you, Amanda, like Aaron was like the funniest dude in high school and amongst, you know, I would do crazy shit in like assemblies and, you know, the occasional pep rally. I'd like come out as a character or whatever. So I was very much kind of known as like the class clown and stuff. But like if you got around Aaron, you wouldn't. Maybe not everybody knew it, but he was like the funniest dude. He's still like one of those guys we like quote some of the shit he would say back in high school. And dude, thanks for calling and thanks for being so honest. And I'm glad you made it through the ringer, as you put it, man. And that's tough. But I will say, you are not never a bad friend. All of us kind of grew apart. There's like, God, I was about to say a handful of people I still talk to from high school. Not even that. There's like two people, maybe three. You went through what you went through, and there's no point in jealousy. There's no point in regret, even more than that, because it just fuels nothing, and it's good for nothing but wallowing. And I've had to learn that lesson lately, because I don't know why. It's just like certain times I've just been looking back on things and just going, like, oh, why didn't I do this differently? Why did I do this? Oh, I've wasted. We all of us have an element in our minds where we're like, fuck, I've wasted so much time. And it's not true. That's just time you used in one way or the other. That said, I always say, man, Rodney Dangerfield didn't get into comedy till he was 40 years old. 40. That was like in the 50s, and that's crazy. I always joke, like, we're not gymnasts. We're not teen idols. You can start in comedy anytime. The fact that you're doing open mics already is awesome, man, because you're such a – you got the stuff. You're fundamentally a hilarious person and a thoughtful person and a wildly intelligent person. I really love the fact that you're getting into it. I wouldn't recommend – what was the bit you would do with the teachers where you'd raise your hand and go, "Stack my cack," and they wouldn't know you were just saying, "Suck my cock," in like a really hard Chicago accent? I wouldn't do that bit. Or jump the piano and play Moonlight Sonata insanely fast. He would just – I just remember that being so – yeah, just, you know, or no, what? How's Moonlight Sonata go? What am I thinking of? That's like – Anyway, something you're supposed to play very slowly and softly. He would just burn it out like Jerry Lee Lewis, Jerry Lee Lewis, and it was anyway. It's just very madcap and very funny. And I remember him wrestling with Devlin Whiteside, my high school girlfriend at one point, and her beating him, like wrestling him to the ground, and him screaming out, "You're stronger than me. I hate it." And it was so funny. And I was like, I remember it was so funny because it was that expression of vulnerability that you would never hear a man express, especially like not in high school. We were all like, "No, I'm pretty tough," you know, like, and that, I mean, that's the reason why we laugh so hard at Will Ferrell and initially laugh so hard is because he's a big guy and he would scream, you know, like how he's horribly hurt, you know, and it's really funny. Anyway, so he was funny like that in high school. Yeah, dude, just don't think of it as like, oh, I'm switching gears. It's something you just do and do and do and do and do until, oh, an opportunity presents itself. Maybe you can jump from here to there, but you're not there yet, but you'll get there. So continue with your job and all that. And fuck, man, hit me up on Facebook or whatever, or wherever we're on social media. There's ways to get a hold of me. And if you want to go to the December 21st Aladdin show, I'll put you on the list. I would love to see it. And best of luck to you, man. And everybody, be on the lookout for Aaron Lehman. He's coming. Thanks, buddy.
Was that cool?
That was really cool.
Look at his little holiday, little holiday love right now.
It sounded like him, and he sounded like the, you know, old upbeat Aaron. When he was kind of talking about, oh, I went through some addiction stuff. And look, he said, you probably heard about that. And my closest friend said that, oh, yeah, Aaron went through some stuff with, you know, with substances. And that's like kind of all it went into. And it's like, God, like, who amongst us hasn't, man? And that's, oh, fuck, just that's the one point that I wanted to hit. The fact that Aaron's done with all that shit is just going to help him. Because it's like, I mean, so many comedians, I won't say as many as half of them, but a huge chunk of them are sober and have gone through the exact same thing that you went through, Aaron. And it all it's going to do is help. And the biggest impediment to writing good jokes so many times is being hungover or being strung out or being or just thinking that you have to get fucked up all the time and be the whole idea of like comedian as a burnout rock star is so bullshit and so done. There's so many better ways to have fun and it all sobriety will do is help your career. So that's, you got that going for you, which is awesome. So
hi, Matt. My name is Arsha. I live in Philadelphia and I live with my girlfriend. Some background information. I am an only child, like you, and my girlfriend Hillary has a sister and parents. So here's the thing. Holidays. I don't know what to do on holidays. I like to spend the holidays with my parents. Being an only child, it's very important to them that I'm there. And she likes to spend the holidays with her parents. Huh. Side note, I don't know if you're familiar with the Persian community, but our families tend to have a very, how do I put this, very close relationship, a little closer than most other cultures. So, yeah, if you have any advice as to how to figure out how I should spend my holidays while pleasing both my girlfriend and my parents, that would be greatly appreciated. I'm going to pause here so I can give you my number just in case. Yeah, appreciate your time. Take care. Bye.
Hey, thanks, Arsha. Appreciate you leaving the number, but we cut that out. Don't leave your numbers, guys. I'm not going to call you. But, Arsha, to the topic at hand, appreciate you dramatically walking past what sounded like a highway, looking off into what I think was Lake Michigan.
Yeah, I'll see, like, driving, getting into his car, like,
everyone driving,
rolling up the freeway window. He's like driving and leaving this message, like, and looking over his shoulder, so the sound waves in and out.
It sounds like my family doesn't know I'm out here. They're all inside the movie theater. But listen, here's the thing, man. I get where you're coming from. It's tough. I had the same thing with my wife. And what we do is, one year I'm at her parents' house for Christmas, and her parents is at, or she's at my parents' house for Thanksgiving. Next year is vice versa. But we are married. You guys are boyfriend and girlfriend who live together. What you have to do is decide, can you do, you know, her place for the holidays this year and then your place for the holidays next year? That is usually a tough ask if you're not legally connected, so to speak, or have made some kind of lifelong commitment. It sounds like you live with your girlfriend, and that's great. That's a cool thing. But, you know, consider the option of having separate Christmases and separate holidays, whatever you or her celebrate. Look at it that way. And Christmas is a time for family. And if your family takes it very, very seriously about having you there, but she wants to be with her family, just don't overthink it. It's okay. Look, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and also, not spending the holidays together is not the end of the world. And you can always get together and have your own little holiday time when you come back. And you can reminisce about how god-awful your families were, or whatever, or great. I think you're looking at this as a far more serious thing than it is. You're an adult, she's an adult. The holidays are what you make them. And look, if you really want to go to her family's house with her, you can do that. You can piss off your family, and that's okay. But in the end, I think you'll probably be happier if you go to your family's place, and she'll be happy if she goes to her family's place. And then you guys get back together at your home that you share and have your own holiday season, your Christmas, your Hanukkah, your whatever you're doing. That's where I'm coming from based on the information you're giving me. But at the same time, you are also obviously a confidential informant walking by the side of the highway, talking to the detective you're working with to help crack the case. So maybe that's making you look at things in a very serious manner. But I think you should do a holiday with your family, and then she does a holiday with hers, and then you guys get together. That's my call. But thanks for calling, Arsha. Appreciate it.
Hey, Matt. This is Eric from Portland, Oregon. I have a dilemma. When I got hired at my job, my boss said, no vacations around the holidays, but my wife's birthday is around Thanksgiving, and she wants me to ask my boss if I could take more time off around her birthday and around Thanksgiving so we could go visit her dad. I'm kind of intimidated to ask my boss because originally he told me no holidays around the holidays, so I need some advice. Let me know what you think. All right, bye.
Wow. Oh, shit, man. That's tough. I don't really know how important this job is to you. And, boy, I always defer to your personal life. It kind of makes me go, why do you have to work so much on the holidays? The thing is, you're not even asking for time off for Christmas. I think that's the big one. You're asking for time off for Thanksgiving. And I think since we've passed Thanksgiving,
I know.
It's okay. Well, we get these when we get these. We get a lot of calls to come through. And I hope you just kind of chose your gal. There's battles you're always going to have with your employer, and you, of course, you got to choose them. But I think that's a good one to fight, where you're like, yeah, look, I know you said that, but I really want to see what could be my father-in-law someday down the line and visit him. I'm not asking for Christmas. I'm going to bust my tuchus over Christmas. So, hey, maybe the Thanksgiving. Look, it doesn't hurt to ask. The worst that's going to happen is a guy going to be like, you do it, you're fired. And then you get another thing to deal with. And, you know, to extrapolate that, I think I've said this before, is like the key to, at least my little theme in life is just to keep improving my problems. One thing I've learned recently is, and look, what I'm saying is that's a good problem to have, that you have to ask for time off to be with someone who cares about you. That's a good problem. One thing I've realized recently is like I tend to overinflate problems in my mind before I take them on, rather than just going, fuck it, and making the phone call or starting the conversation. And God, it is true. 99 times out of 100, the anticipation of how bad something's going to be is worse than the actual thing. I had a thing recently where I was leasing a car, and the lease was going to be up in like three months. And my wife was like, oh, let's just buy a car. Let's buy this car we really like. And we can turn in the lease and it's the same company. So I brought the car in and we were like, look, can we get the rest of the lease the next 3 months wiped if we buy this car? Would you make that as an incentive? And it was back and forth, a hemming and a hawing. And they finally were like, okay, fine. And so then we did it. It's like, okay, sweet. We just saved ourselves 3 months of a lease. And then recently I got a bill from the bank trying to charge me for the remainder of the lease. And I was like, called Karen, I threw a fucking shit fit. And I was like, fuck, I'm gonna have to, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's just like, look, can you just handle this? And I'm like, I will handle it, but it's going to fucking suck. You know, that guy just gave us his word, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm just like, shit. And so I call. I'm at the airport. I'm on hold for 40 minutes, 4-0, while I'm just in my mind going, this is going to suck so fucking bad. And I get on the plane talking with the lady. She discovered the mistake they made and was so sweet and just handled it in like 10 minutes. Where I was like, I need to have every document in front of me and all this jazz. And I was just like, you know, I felt powerless because I'm up against this car company. For like all of us, I'm afraid of fuckery. I'm afraid of getting fucked over. I'm afraid of someone pulling bullshit. Oh, if you don't have the exact document, then you have no power and you owe us $1 million. Or whatever the bullshit, you know, predatory capitalism is made of. So like, you are worried about even asking him, whereas I don't think it hurts to even I don't think it hurts to ask him. Just preface it by being like, look, man, I know you said no holidays, but here's the thing. You know, this is someone who's very special to me. She wants me to go see her dad with her. And just say that. You didn't say he's sick. You just said that. Maybe he'll infer that. Anyway, apologies. This is coming out after Thanksgiving, but I think you probably made the right decision. And I think so many times when people call in and ask me for stuff, and I know I'm like super fucking wise, and like I get no dipshit. There's a guy, I talked about this guy. There's a guy named TJ Jagodowski who's a improviser in Chicago, and that did like describing someone as an improviser. It's like, aren't we all? Don't we all make shit up? He is like one of those guys who is a brilliant dude on stage. It can just be him, and he does a show with another guy, I forget his name, but he's one of those guys who, coming up in the Chicago scene, you're always like, wow, TJ, like, fuck, that guy's great. He has a tattoo on his arm that just says, you know. And more often than not, and all it means is like, you know, you're asking me questions. You know the right thing to do. This is just a job. Ask. Just ask permission. The guy can say no, and then you decide what to do. But you know what you should be doing. You should just, the thing you shouldn't do is nothing. The thing you shouldn't do is just go, fuck, man, it's too much. I'm just going to make him mad. Sorry, honey, we got to suck it up. We'll never know. It's like, but you didn't even try. You know what you need to do. We all pretty much know what we need to do. We just kind of dress it up in things and give ourselves excuses. But you're not always going to make the right decision. I'm at the best point in my life I've probably ever been, and I'm still fucking up. I'm still making dumb mistakes every single day. But it's like, deep down, we know what we're supposed to be doing. Push-ups. No.
Can I just say, yeah. I think you just said the most Portlander thing ever.
What's that?
Which is predatory capitalism.
Yeah. Well, and what I
love that.
What,
like, yeah, predatory capital. That's my impression of you.
I don't think all of capitalism is that, but just it's, yeah. But yeah, it is. That is so Portland. Who cares, man? It's so predatory. Hey, can I have a dollar? Hey, what the fuck? All I meant is shit like where, like a cell phone bill or how a bank will have a built-in charge and you're like, what's this for?
Yeah, yeah,
and they're like, oh, we'll take that off. And it's like, why the fuck was it there?
That's what I mean. Oh, no,
like,
no, no.
Shit where unless you have to give yourself a headache looking through the shit they're trying to pull. That's the same thing. Fuckery is a form of predatory capitalism, right. For sure.
Or like when Mexican food restaurants charge like $1.50 more just for avocado.
Sure.
I find that to be predatory That's capitalism.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's probably the smallest version, but yeah. Yeah.
I know. But that will, like, if avocado is 50 cents, I'll do it.
Sure.
But if it is more than that,
but
predatory capitalism.
We have to recognize that avocado toast, it does cost extra, no matter what. The thing that gets me is the people that are just like, and I'll take a double side of avocado, and they're like, all right, well, that's like $2. And they're like, what? Why? Like, you know why.
Yeah.
There's no place where avocados are free. Nowhere.
No, yeah.
But yes.
Okay. This is a fun one.
Okay.
Hey, dipshit. Are boneless chicken wings chicken nuggets?
Nice.
Yes.
Fuck, that's a good one. I love ones like that where it's just like, it's just, I picture that dude walked into an old bar that still has a like one of those weird old phone booths in the back.
Oh.
And he went in and just shut it and he pulled out his cell and called and then he just walked out of the bar. And never told anyone he made this phone call. That's great.
Like, he's just so drunk, and this is like his conundrum. He's just sitting there eating.
He did
them,
this in a black. He did this in a blackout.
Yeah.
In his mind, he's like, "Be weird if I actually called."
Oh my god.
And then he's listening. He's like, "Fuck!" Like he hears the episode. He's like, "I fucking called him. I really called him." No, they are not. They are not because chicken nuggets are ground up. Chicken nuggets are ground up and fried, whereas boneless wings have the bones taken out and it's still like a solid piece of meat, the muscles and the tendons fried, not ground. That's the difference. Like if you took a chicken breast and cut it into cubes and deep fried it, that's chicken cubes. Those are not nuggets. Nuggets are ground.
In my mind, those are chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
Those chicken cubes.
Not to me.
Those.
You know what though, maybe, because chicken cubes is like, that's like a, I don't know. I mean, you'd still look at it and go, oh, this is a chicken nugget. But like generally speaking, they're ground. And that's like McDonald's chicken nuggets are like something like not of this earth. Like they're awesome. And same with the Wendy's ones. They're awesome, but they're so fucking weird. And you're like, is this all chicken butthole? Is that all this is? And probably.
Well, you saw Butthole and Lips, me, right?
Yeah.
Where it's pink.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. It's like slimy.
It's pink slime that they like press
so
into chicken looking shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're,
but if I'm upset, Carl's Jr.'s chicken stars is awesome to
That's
eat,
great.
Right?
Processed food is so bad, but so good. It's just there and it's awesome. And the worst.
Yeah, the worst.
I mean, it's like, that's the thing. It's like anyone out there who eats a lot of like fast food, just, it's not so much that it's beef and cheese and fatty special sauce. It's the fact that there's trans fats. It's processed food, and that's really bad for your heart and your system. So you're better off to make your own burgers or, you know, go to some place like In-N-Out that doesn't use them if you have In-N-Out. But at the same time, every once in a while, yeah, there's a guy I know named Aaron who he like cleaned up his life and lost a lot of weight. But for the longest, he was always that guy who is like always drunk at the party and then would go to Del Taco or McDonald's or whatever. And he would get like, what, like you'd get like 50 nuggets, like 5-0 and just eat them all. Or like, and he would post online, like, I did it. I ate all 50 nuggets. Or like, he'd be cooking like cheeseburgers for everybody at his house and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it's, but it's like,
right
the, there's like,
I'm sorry.
No, I know.
And it's just the volume of that.
Oh, and anytime I, back in my days of getting drunk and getting fast food and just eating that by myself at home on the couch and like waking up with wrappers like around
that was
you.
Me yesterday.
Sure. You're allowed. And I remember just the feeling of, oh, what a piece of shit I am. You know, I mean, this dude would like lean in to that. And I think when you did too much, eventually you're just like, all right, I'm done. Like Martin Mull was on WTF recently and he was talking about, Mull was like, oh yeah, I've been sober like 25 years or something, some crazy length. And Mark Maron was like, good for you. He's like, you know, I don't look at that. I look like, I feel like I fit, I graduated early. You know those people that study real hard the first 3 years and they graduate the third year rather than the fourth? He's like, by age 45, I did all the drinking you're supposed to do.
Oh. Like, there it was.
That was such a funny way to put it. Like, yeah, I got my diploma. I'm done. No more of that.
So I was in one of those good kid community groups. And we would go, you know, where they would drive us up to go snowboarding together. Uh-huh. They would take us out to go to like a lake to go jet skiing, and it'd be a group of us. It's relatively conceptually, I guess, like a youth group at a church.
Okay.
Right? Like, I just, if I was going to compare it to something, we're like, oh, we were like a bunch of really good promised whatever future kids. And right. So they were giving us these experiences. And I remember there was this kid, Dominic, and every time we would go on these, he would push his In-N-Out order bigger. So, because In-N-Out, you can pay extra for more patties and more cheese.
4x4.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're talking like 10x10.
Oh.
And then the next one, he would push for like 11x11.
Jesus Christ.
And you know what they do when they're that big, when you hit like 14x14, because that was the last one he did, is they put it in the box. Like, think of it like files in a filing cabinet. Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. That's, so it's not like it's one super tall burger.
Right.
It's like all these files of just patties and cheese bun. And that man would eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, look, if you just gave me that and I was like hungry, it's one of those things where I would have to fight. You know, like, you know, dogs will eat until they're sick. I would have to fight the dog in me. Because it's so good, I'd just be like, oh, one more patty. My arms are going numb, you know. I'm having heart palpitations. Oh, it's just, you can't tempt fate like that.
No.
Like, no way.
Yeah.
But.
I wish camera phones weren't around then.
Sure.
But if they were, that would have been an image to go viral so
yes.
fast. Like.
Oh, and I will say, I'm so glad that I was growing up and in high school and out of college before any like internet video shit really started. Cool. Like, it was just beginning when I was in college, over, you know, I've scot-free. I made it out because not that I was like the biggest loon or the biggest idiot, but just like, there's no, I remember in high school, someone had like you know, like a camcorder or whatever, and was just filming everybody drunk at this high school party. And people were like dropping their pants and like flashing and like just.
Well, but that's the thing though, is the generation that has it has that awareness of it.
For sure.
Versus, you know, I mean, yeah. Cause I was in college right when this stuff was coming through. Mm-hmm. So I had the, like, you wake up the next morning and you see what photos you're tagged in on Facebook and you're like, oh shit, what did you do?
Right.
Take me down. Like, I can't, you know, cause we weren't aware of it yet.
Sure.
So, Ooh, I had, cause I loved costume parties, but just, man,
that's fine.
And it just, but so
yeah,
I have one more message for you. This
Great.
Isn't a question.
Okay.
But I think this is, you know, tis in the holiday spirit.
Okay, sweet.
Hey, man, this is Moshe. I had called you a little while ago about my father wanting to move in with me and not letting it, and all the guilt I feel about the, you know, the lack of the relationship I have with him. I just want to let you know your advice was right on point, man. I listened to it so many times, and I just review what you said. I don't owe him anything. And that just struck such a great chord within me, and it really, really helped me a lot. I just wanted to let you know, sorry. And just thanks a lot, man. It really meant a lot that you took that call and you gave me such amazing advice. Appreciate it. Love you. Love your show. Take care, buddy.
Wow.
I know.
Thanks.
We're just going through all the feels in this episode.
All the feels. That
all
just made
feels.
My week. And thanks, Moshe, first, thanks for calling. That thanks is equal to Amanda, who picked your call out. We get a lot of calls, and she kind of just does the best job you possibly can to pick out this, that, and the other. And it's just such a big thing. It's so hard when you have a parent like that. I mean, I don't want to say I can imagine. I can. I have friends with parents like that. I mean, shout out to you for standing strong and making the hard decision, you know, and not just kind of going, oh, this is what should happen. When it's true, you don't owe that guy everything. You owe everything to yourself and your family. That, you know, and by your family, you know what I mean. He is your family, but not your, you know what I'm talking about.
I have to say, I love going through the calls. That is during the week one of my favorite things to do.
Oh, cool.
Is to go through the calls. And then, you know, with how creative people get, with mm-hmm. how vulnerable people get, you know, every now and then you get something that's a little off, but you know, it's all, you got to take the up and the down with it.
Totally.
But then when this came through, this made me really happy. And yeah. I know I appreciate doing this show with you. And I thought that was so cool.
No, it's so rad. And the fact that he listened to it a few times to kind of get him pumped out. Is that a term?
Pumped out.
Let's get pumped out, guys.
Get the pumped out.
Is that
but yeah.
but hey, and thanks, and please keep calling everybody. You too can be a part of this magical world. The phone number is 323-763-0228. We're on Patreon at Advice from a Dipshit. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, everything. Tell your friends, post about the show, say why you like it, post the show, tag us, you know, let us know. And we'll knock back a message to you. Much appreciated for all the support. We're at Advice from a Dipshit on Facebook if you want to tag us. At Dipshit Advice on Twitter if you want to tag us. Theme songs by Ben Wise. Subscribe and write a fun review. When's this episode coming out?
18th.
18th of December?
Yeah, next week.
Awesome. Come see me at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. There should be some tickets left. It is all ages, so you can bring all your kids. Long as you don't get them too drunk. All right. It is Portland. I shouldn't joke like that. People do drink with their kids. That is the second to last of the Please Hold Me tour. After that, I'll be in Vermont for the Vermont Comedy Club over New Year's Eve. And I am taping those shows for the new album. So if you want to be a part of it, get to the shows. All tickets are on mattbronger.com. Thanks to Amanda. And thanks, everybody. Enjoy your holidays.
Yes. Happy holidays.
Happy
special
holidays.
Christmas episode, everybody. So this is out on the 18th, but next week we have an extra long Bert Kreischer episode.
Oh yeah, Bert
Kreischer.
We're
everybody.
Giving you Fat Bert for Christmas, as as Tom Segura calls him. I do not, but yeah, Bert's coming for Christmas.
All right, bye.
Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.